Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And on the line with us right now is Mayor Paige Cognetti of the city of Scranton. Mayor, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Hi, Frank and Mark. How are you?
We're doing great. Now, I know you just got finished with a 2 o'clock event. You are now an official Tree City, right?
Tree City. We've had the designation for a few years now. It started in 1986 under Mayor Wenzel. Took a bit of a hiatus there for a time, but now we're back in the swing, and I'm very excited. Being from Oregon, I have an innate love for trees, so we're pretty excited. It's a green city up here in Scranton.
Yeah, when I was mayor of Troop, I wanted to get us involved in trying to be a tree city. It's a little more complicated. It's not something that's simple to get. What does it really mean?
So it means that you are making the true investment in trees. And of course, when we talk about trees, we're not just talking about beautification and having our cities be pretty, which of course is important for people to want to live here and stay here. But there's also the safety element, right? So as a city, we need to make sure that we don't have dead trees around, branches, stumps where there are hazards, because if somebody trips on a stump or a branch falls on them on a city property, that's our liability. So really, it's a lot of investment for safety and to prevent things like litigation, which I don't mean to laugh at, but it's true. So I look at these budgets, and I know somebody was saying to me, well, how can you be worrying about trees during a pandemic? And I said, you have to look at these things in terms of public safety. But the true meaning part of it is that you have to spend $2 for every resident on tree and forestry. And most of that is spent with the safety element of that.
I know. It's an amazing program. Now, I can't believe the questions that are coming in. Most of them are text. But I want to point out that it wasn't me that asked you to do this. It was your office that said, hey, the mayor wants to come on and be accessible and answer questions from the listeners, which I really appreciate. You've been trying to go out of your way with your town halls and everything just to kind of talk to people, right?
Right. That's something that I wanted to change when I came into office, and being in this pandemic, this economic crisis has only accelerated the need for the city and me as kind of the spokesperson of the city to be in as much communication on as many different channels as possible. I think it's really important that we hear from our local leaders. There's a lot, as you guys just did the national news, there's a lot of national news out there, and that is very important, but we have to be able to interpret what it means for us here in our towns.
Well, I'm surprised at the number of questions that have been sent in on this subject, and it's
okay.
It's coming from restaurants.
Yep.
The restaurants are concerned because right now they're doing their best, but if the winter weather hits, or cold weather hits, or really rainy weather hits, and they can't make their money outside, they're going to be hurting. What is happening with the restaurants in Scranton, and what are you guys doing to help?
Yeah, it's just something that I am concerned about all of the time. And remember, half of my household is the mayor and half of my household is the owner of a small business, food business. So this is something that I'm thinking about constantly. And there's no business can operate on 25%, right? So at 25% occupancy, if we even are able to do 25% occupancy during, these coming fall and winter months, I'm very concerned about it. So right right now we have, you know, we still have, I think, one grant available. We still have some loans available. There's those small things that we can try to do as a city. We try to always be pointing people to resources. Up here in Scranton at the university, there's a small business development center. They have great technical resources for small businesses. If you're looking to figure out how you might be able to refigure your business model or really look at your finances, if you need help looking at that and seeing what your runway is, you know, can you survive being closed for 3 months? Can you survive being closed for 6 months? There are resources like that out there to help you, so we're trying to connect people to those. But at the end of the day, we really need another program, I think, like the PPP. I think a couple weeks ago we talked about the Restart Act. There's some things percolating down in D.C., but nothing, it seems like they're at a bit of a stalemate. We need more, I think, assistance from the federal level, because these saving these businesses right now is not something that, you know, a city government or even a state government is going to be able to do. I think we're going to need some more firepower at the federal level.
Okay, we're going to take our first phone call, and Joe is calling. Joe, you have a question for the mayor.
Yes, I do. Hello, Mayor. My question is this. Scranton native Joe Biden and Kamala Harris appear to be doing very well, while Mr. Trump appears to be struggling. So who do you think will win the presidential election?
Okay, we'll let you listen off air. Mayor, Joe Biden, Scranton native, what do you think?
Who I think will win the presidential election. Well, thank you for your question, Joe. I really think that this is a race for the next, I'm forgetting the number, 83 days or so. I think it is really going to be a serious race. I think that it's hard to beat an incumbent no matter who it is or what's going on. So, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, I think it's a very strong ticket. I'm glad to see that the Biden campaign, finally is able to get those signs out that has the vice president added to them, vice presidential candidate added to them. I think it's going to be a tough race, though. I've endorsed Joe Biden. I used to work in the Obama-Biden administration, so I very strongly believe that he would bring the policies that would help places like Scranton and help places like northeastern Pennsylvania. But policies are one thing. That's what you get into once you start governing. The politics is another. And it is going to be a really intense 83 days. And both campaigns are really going to have to take their message to the people. And I always say this. We get a lot of calls from outlets that want to talk about Scranton. And a lot of folks I turn down because I can't spend all my time doing this. But I always say people in Scranton and northeastern Pennsylvania care. They care deeply. They are listening. They're not going to let people, pull the wool over their eyes. They are listening, and they're looking for the candidate who was authentic, who was telling it to them straight. And I think in this case, that's Joe Biden. I think that's Kamala Harris. But I really think it's going to be a tight one.
Okay, here's an interesting question. This could probably, your answer might take the rest of the day. This is from Kathy in the Hyde Park section of Scranton. And she wants to know, Mayor, the Scranton has had the designation of a distressed city, and I'm concerned that with COVID-19 and the problems that we're having, that we'll be distressed forever. Can you tell us what it means as far as taxes in the future?
As far as taxes?
Yeah, I guess paying the bills.
Well, the distressed status is a pretty technical name given to us with this program that we have with the state under Act 47. So it's a technical term, and I hate it when it kind of becomes like we have this status, so it means we're distressed. Well, it's more complicated than that, and the saying that we're distressed under Act 47, there's some technical things that we can do to potentially no longer be under that act, I would probably by 2022, which is great. But even if we were to leave distressed status, which we may do after 18 months from now, it doesn't mean that we're out of the woods. We have, in Scranton, we have until the pandemic, we were really confident on our current cash flows and doing pretty well. There's some great work that was done before I took office on the more of the current liabilities. Of course, with the pandemic, like every government entity and every business, really everybody's dealing with revenue shortfalls, and we're trying to figure out what that looks like in 2020 now and 2021 as well. But the biggest thing, Kathy, is the long-term liabilities, and this is something that would have been true whether we were talking in this month or in March before the pandemic. We have hundreds of millions of dollars of long-term liabilities here in the city, and it's unclear how we're going to be able to pay those down over time and still get to the goal, which I would like to get to, where we could hopefully lower taxes. I would never, and I have never promised to lower taxes because I just am not going to overpromise things. I certainly hope that over time, though, we can do that we can reduce expenditures, that we can collect better on the taxes that we charge. That's a big piece of something that we can do. We just hired a treasurer that will come on replacing the current treasurer who's retiring. He's done a great job. We have someone coming in that's a CPA. She's coming from the Auditor General's office. We worked together down in Harrisburg for Eugene DePasquale. She'll be a key, critical part of trying to figure out how can we collect more efficiently. If we get more collections of what we are charging already, then hopefully that too would help us take down that tax burden over time. Because I know we're overtaxed. The property taxes are too high. The wage tax is something that we've got to figure out how to whittle that down over time.
Tony from St. Ann Street in West Grandin also wants to know, your police chief is now the head of security for Lackawanna College. Can you give us an update on the police department?
So it is so hard. You know, we laugh about it because if you don't laugh, you know, you'll cry. But, we get one thing going. We're so excited. You know, Mary Jo Sheridan's coming on as treasurer. And then it's Carl Graziano says, oh, my gosh, the job that I wanted to retire with has come early. So, you know, you one and one, right? Wins and losses. You got Carl Graziano is an incredible police chief, and he is just a true pillar of this community. And I've been able to take the news in the last few days because he's still going to be right up the street. He'll still be working with us here at the city. Still, you know, as public safety for Lackawanna College, really, truly still a part of public safety in the city. So that's excellent. And we've got some work to do to figure out how to move forward. But, I mean, we have an excellent, excellent police department that has been under chief's leadership for nearly a decade, and I'm very thankful for that.
Okay, quarter to a mayor. Hang on just a second. We got to pay some bills, and we'll be back with more phone calls. Mayor Paige Cognetti, 883-0098. You can text in your question, or you can talk to her directly. She'll be with us for the next few minutes. We'll take a break, and we'll be right back on WILK. Minutes now before 4 o'clock. Mayor Paige Cognetti is with us of the city of Scranton. Mayor, I'm just curious. This is a personal question. There's no doubt that you are a hardworking person. I mean, anytime we reach out to you, you're accessible, you're available, you're always bugging us with stuff that you're doing. How the heck are you balancing this? I mean, you're a new mother, you're a wife. I mean, it must be consuming you.
I mean, I'm a busy lady, I'd say. I would admit that, but I think everyone is, right? One thing I think about a lot, you know, in the evening when I'm with my daughter and my husband and cleaning up, and just now it's 7 months, I think, that I've been a mom, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is what this is. And I've always been amazed by my mom and other people, usually mothers, who just clean all the time. And now I get it, that it just becomes second nature. I'm just cleaning the house constantly while I'm on the phone, while I'm doing other things, while I've got the baby on one hip. We're just constantly cleaning. So, and I think it's probably good. It's probably a good outlet for me, too, is the constant cleaning.
Yeah, it goes by fast, I know. Mary Jo wants to know, if the University of Scranton, if Lackawanna College, if Marywood, any other schools are in touch with you to get your coordinated efforts when they are planning to reopen, because what they do is going to depend on your support.
Yeah, absolutely. We just yesterday had one of our biweekly calls with all of the universities. We actually get on the phone, not just with our universities and colleges and the school district, but also with the hospitals here. So Geisinger and Moses Taylor, the medical college, all join our calls as well, as well as others like Wright Center and as well sometimes, to talk about all this as a group, as a community, both health, both the medical community and the educators. So we're in constant touch about their plans from the public health side, and then also from the public safety side. So yesterday, you know, Carl Graziano, our chief for another month, was on the phone, and we're trying to think through how we can best support the universities as they try to tell their students, hey guys, you know, we can't be partying like normal. So we're trying to all be part of a solution together. We have a great working relationship, and I'm grateful to all of the leaders of all of the schools of every level. They've been really put through the ringer this summer, and I think I think it's been hardest on them in these last couple of months.
Okay, rapid fire questions here that are coming in. Number one, will the police department be defunded or abolished or cut back in any way? Where's the fire chief for Scranton? Who is the fire chief? These are the questions that are coming in. Is Harrisburg going to bail out Scranton or Washington, and are they talking to you?
Okay, so where do we start? The police. So the defund the police movement is I'm not sure where that stands, but defunding the police is certainly not the type of it's not the phrasing that I think makes sense for police departments and for cities. We already have a very progressive police department. We already have most of the policies, the use of force policies. We already have those in place, the ones that many of these organizations have been pushing for. We can still go farther, and we can still look for ways that we can do our best to make sure that nothing like improper use of force happens here. You can, you know, never say never, but we continue to try to improve, and we'll continue to work with the police department and whomever I bring in as police chief. I'll want that person to be as forward-looking as Chief Graziano, if not even more so. But the defunding piece is not the right way to think about it, because when we look at the budget, I have the budget right here. You know, I think it's most of the budget. I mean, we're talking in the 90 percentile of the budget is for salary and benefits, and I don't have any desire to pay police officers who put their lives on the line every day any less than they're being paid right now. Most of the budget is in that, and people want good technology. They want cameras. We have body cameras here in Scranton. We've had them for a couple years. They're so useful, and they're good for the community and for the police department. Those cost money, right? So I don't see where defunding is quite the right way to think about it. Certainly not abolishing. But all of that said, we do need to look at ways that we can help provide resources in the community. I think that there's different programs out there that have worked well, where if a call is a mental health call, I don't see us just sending out a social worker anytime soon. But are there social services that we could be utilizing and partnering with more to answer some of these phone calls in a little bit of a different way? But certainly not anything that would be defunding the police, and certainly never anything that would be trying to take away from what our police officers do every single day. And I would say that the same with the fire department. I swore in 9 new firefighters on Tuesday, and as I stood there with their families, I felt for those families, and it would be very difficult if my husband left every day for into a police car, into a firehouse where his life was on the line. The same would go if it were me and he was the one that was watching me do that. These are extremely dangerous roles. They're very important to our city. They're very important to the city of Scranton, and we're not looking to defund anything or take away from what is a very, very serious and dangerous set of jobs.
Fire chief?
Acting fire chief is John Judge. We have an acting chief, and he is doing a great job. He's really helping us right now as we talk about the budget, helping us put together the budget for 2021, and I very much appreciate working with him. I'm forgetting. You have to remind me what the next one was.
I don't know what your schedule is, but can you hold on the other side of news to take a couple more questions?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yes, absolutely.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold, and then we're going to take a break for news. And Mayor, if you're listening, the questions are about the bailout from the federal or the state government, how it's going to help, when it's going to come. And then we got a tough question that's coming towards you. Let's see, this is Tony who says, my son graduated from college, and I'd really love him to live close to me, but why should he buy a house in the city of Scranton when the taxes are going up so high and he's entering the school district? So you can think about those. We'll take a break and we'll be back. 10 minutes after 4 o'clock, and on the line with us from City Hall is the mayor of the city of Scranton, Paige Cognetti, and she is taking your questions. Either you can call or you can text us. The number is 883-0098. And Mayor, we got a bunch of questions here, and I'll start with this one from Michael. Ask the mayor if she will do something about the neighborhood blight in the 200 block of North Bromley Avenue and Price Street. I am serving on the steering committee for improvements of West Scranton, sponsored by NeighborWorks. The quality of life and transportation safety is so important to our community. Thank you.
Frank, are you there?
Yeah. Did you hear the question?
North Bromley, you said, right?
North Bromley, yeah, North Bromley and Price.
Absolutely. So we actually, I was very close to that area last week. We have our new Scranton Together Neighborhood Initiative. We've been to, I think, 5 locations so far this month, and we'll be doing another one tomorrow, 10 to 12. We'll be doing them Monday, Wednesday, Friday throughout the next month and a half or so, and maybe even into October if we can. We're taking all of, basically, it's nearly all of the city departments to the different neighborhoods. It's been a really cool program so far, and I get to actually go, which is fun because I get to just wear a t-shirt and answer questions and talk to people in real life, which is nice. Everybody wears masks, of course, in distance, but Bromley came up. One of the neighbors came to talk about Bromley, and we took that information down. While we're at these neighborhood initiatives, while we're there, we have complaint forms, and we have a great group of interns who's taking down all the complaints. We've gotten dozens of late complaints so far, so we're working to follow up with the neighbors. And then internally, we're working very hard on blight broadly to make sure that our inspections, our economic development, community development, and our legal teams are all working from the same sheet of music, using the same information, figuring out the process, where things are at, where we can move, where we can fix something, help somebody fix something, or is there a situation where there's a house that, you know, maybe has been condemned for a long time or is burned out and needs to come down? Is it already on a demolition list? Can we get it on the demolition list? What are the steps we need to do there? I know that Bromley has a lot of issues. That's definitely on the list. I know that that's a real issue, and we're trying to do everything as a process here, right? We're trying to look at all of our processes, talk to each other, improve our own technologies so that we're not spinning our wheels trying to track that information, that we have all the information about any different property in one place where I can look at it, an attorney can look at it. We're not kind of all over the place. So there's a technology solution, and a lot of it is just focus, and we're very focused on blight.
Okay, I'm gonna combine about 3 or 4 questions into one. I mentioned before the break, Tony called and said he wants his son to buy a house, but he's concerned about the taxes. Someone else called and said, I can't sell my house. Nobody wants to move into Scranton. Someone said, the city is crushed by city and school taxes. What are you looking to do to lower them? We have more trouble moving into the city, renters and crime following them. What are you doing to combat it all?
So I would say that I'm interested about not being able to sell the house, and that goes back to blight. I know that there are some homeowners who have been trying to sell, and it's not that their house hasn't been kept up, it's that their neighbors haven't been kept up, and that's not fair, and that's why one of the reasons why we are so focused on working on our processes here so that we can work on the blight. We can get those places demolished so that those are out of the neighborhoods for health and safety, but also for property values. I have heard really good things from realtors about the housing market, though, that there are a lot of houses, and I follow this on Zillow. There's a lot of houses that are popping up and getting snapped up within a matter of days or just a few weeks. So there are a lot of it's a seller's market right now in Scranton as well as a lot of places, I think. I think a lot of people do want to move to a place like Scranton. What I would say, though, to I think it was, you said, Tony talking about his college son, while we have a long way to go with taxes, and as I said, we're working on how do we whittle away at the wage tax? How do we whittle away at the property tax over time? A lot of that's on us, and that's being more efficient with our operations. That's being that's really looking at our expenses and seeing are there services we can offer at the same level for less money. There's those types of expenditure side things. The more revenue we can get in with economic development, with more people moving here. That'll help too. That can't do everything, but I do think that we are a community that people want to be in. I think Scranton is known for being a place that is where family is strong. If you move to Scranton, you're a part of something. It's a very walkable city. So whereas if you're deciding between an outlying borough or Scranton, if you move into Scranton, you can walk to a store, you can walk to a restaurant, you can walk downtown. You can, you know, if you work at a variety of places, you can live and work in the same neighborhood. Not every place has that, especially in this area. So I think that's very desirable. And the prices here, you can find homes for lower prices, and that's in part because of the taxes. cost. I think if you make the calculations, if you do the math, over time those taxes might be a bit onerous, and we'll do our best to work on that. But you're buying a house for less money than you would in one of these other areas, and I think the math actually checks out in a lot of cases. The other piece is there are a lot of programs, and this is something that we're pushing at these neighborhood meetings. There's a lot of programs to help fix up property. So if Tony's son were to buy a home, he could access some maybe the Beautiful Blocks program, or maybe take advantage of the Home Buyer program. Because Scranton does have some lower to more moderate income areas, there's actually a lot of programs out there to help you buy a home and fix it up than would be in other places.
Question, and I'm not sure I understand it. What is the story, Mayor, with the Black Lives Matter street signs that are all over the city?
So the Black Scranton Project put up some very creative, they're cool signs, but they put them on public property, so those are coming down. So the leader of Black Scranton, and I spoke about it, and Glynis Johns is a great advocate and a great community leader. She knows that they have to come down because they're on public property. She gets that. So those will be coming down. They should be coming down today, I think, if not before, and we'll be returning those to her. But it's an important movement that I fully support.
I'm going to have to send you a list, because all of a sudden I got a bunch of people who said, I need my street paved. Here's my street. So what is scheduled for street paving? And doesn't that depend on state money coming to you?
So we did get pre-pandemic, we got our liquid fuels money. COVID set us back, set everybody back really with a lot of projects and paving. We have some paving that's happening this year, but part of our paving project is going to be kicked to the spring. We weren't able to get all of that done, and doing it later, the prices were going up. We wouldn't have been able to do it for the price point that we're looking for. So we're having to do some of the paving next spring, but we'll get it done. And I know it drives me crazy too. In the meantime, though, while we aren't able to do as much paving as we would have if COVID hadn't happened, we are starting a street signs program. I think that we've replaced, I know it's at least 110 stop signs, and we're really starting to go at the street signs themselves. A lot of them are missing. A lot of them are not of the reflective letters that you need for EMS. So we're going to get to the street signs. We have the hard work done, and that we have the data where we know where the worst ones are, and we're going to be replacing those. So lots of improvements coming. COVID, hasn't been our friend on some of these things. But if people want to, talk about their own street, that's what our Scranton 311 email is for. You can send an email to Scranton311@scrantonpa.gov, and we track the complaints that come in.
All right, let's go to the phones. Lee calling from Scranton. Lee, what's your question for Mayor Cognetti?
Well, I made a request to the mayor and to the council to place on the ballot the ability of the residents to abolish the home rule charter in the city of Scranton. And the mayor and the council has the ability to do that, but I haven't received an answer as to whether yes or no. And, instead of having to collect all the signatures to put it there, because you can change the city classification from 2 to 3, and you can change the way the city is taxing its residents and cut the amount of tax the residents are paying instead of trying to get the court, to look at this issue like Judge Gibbons did and determine that the city was millions and millions of dollars overtaxing, and then of course the mayor went and did an appeal, and then the court refused to hear it, and then they sent it down. And I just think it's time for the residents in the city to make up their mind if they want to go to become a class 3 city and change the amount of taxes and the way they're taxed. And I was wondering if the mayor supports that or doesn't support it, and would or would not put it on the ballot.
Okay, you can listen off air. Mayor, your response.
So I have a lot of work to do right now to fix our house in order at City Hall with all these processes, and try to get ourselves to a point where I think we can look at things like that. We're not there right now. We have to take, coming in, COVID or no COVID, we needed to come in here. Really, our truly one project that we're doing is matching the VIN numbers of our vehicles to our insurance policy. We are starting kind of from scratch on a lot of these things, so we need to take the time to fix the things that we can fix right now. And I think there could be a point, Lee, where we start to look at some of these bigger picture things. We've had to choose and prioritize what we can deal with right now. And right now we've got to figure out what's in front of us, and always working toward the long-term goals of reducing taxes, and potentially, you know, reevaluating the Home Rule Charter and the class of our city is one of those things. I'm absolutely open to reviewing any ideas and any potential options that are out there that could help the city, but that's not something that we're able to bite off right now.
Okay, a question about animal control officer. Do you have one, and they're asking if there's going to be a second?
We do have an animal control officer, yes. That is not something that I've gotten to yet in our new budget planning. When we get to that, we'll see if there's a need for that.
Okay, bailout, federal or state, are they helping you? I mean, are you counting on it? Does it look hopeful? What's happening?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think we can count on it. We've been lobbying hard for the Senate to understand that we need that direct financial assistance to come to cities, and they're not coming back until after Labor Day, which is frustrating. So I'm certainly not counting on it. I think it'd be foolish to count on it, but I am cautiously optimistic that something will come. But it needs to come directly to the cities. I think we know it's not because anybody up the chain's not doing a good job. It's just that we're the ones here in Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, other cities, in Pittston, that we know what our community needs. We know what our budgets look like. We know what it's going to take to keep the lights on, and we're happy to have any parameters. You know, something that was a few weeks ago was, we don't want you people to use it to shore up pensions. That's not what would happen. We're happy for all those parameters. We just want the certainty that we will be able to meet our obligations and be able to provide all of our essential services for the rest of the year and in 2021. So okay. Counting on it, but still need to be lobbying. And those of you out there that think that's important, we need you to call your senators and say, you know, this really is important to us.
Okay, Bernie Scranton, you have a question for Mayor Cognetti.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you, Frank. Good afternoon, Mayor Cognetti. I'm a big supporter of yours. I voted for you and have supported you all along, and I'm truly impressed with the job you've been doing, and I have to commend you. You were handed quite a plateful of obstacles going into this job, and I can only give you high marks and congratulations for trying to get the city back on its feet with all those obstacles that you had to overcome. My question is, are emerging people, it's to support the city, Center City, with our little businesses and restaurants as best we can. I'm hoping an effort could come out of City Hall to bring some excitement into the downtown. I know with all the restrictions, it's very difficult, but I just feel so sorry for these little businesses as they're trying to regain ground in the midst of this pandemic. And I'm just hoping people will start coming back to the city to shop, and hopefully our movie theater, the Scranton Art House, will reopen. Everything's going to come back to normal, and I just want to commend you on the good job you're doing, and just hope there's some initiative maybe out of City Hall to get the city's little fire under the city to invite people to come back into the downtown and shop and eat and maybe go to a movie. And another question, I hope you're going to run for a second term, or is that too?
Okay, Bernie, let's get to the question. Go ahead, Mayor, because we're running out of time. Go ahead.
Thank you. That you made my day. I appreciate that. You do this job 7 days a week, and believe me, it means something when somebody says you're doing a good job, so thank you. I am absolutely running for office to stay in this office in 2021. We have a lot of work to do, as we've laid out, so I will absolutely be hoping to be here for 6 years at the least. So on the downtown piece, we did the thing where you absolutely can don't need to pay for the permit to go out onto the sidewalk if you're a restaurant, a bar, a retail outlet. We have not closed any streets. We shopped that around to our downtown businesses, and no one, not no one, but the consent consensus was that they didn't want the streets to be closed. We're going to see if there's another way we can do it, maybe using some of the alleyways and try to draw to make just do something there. What's difficult, the challenge though, is I can get really excited about this and then I have to realize, like, oh yeah, the rules, the COVID, the pandemic. We still have to be careful we're not creating a festival inadvertently. So we have to do it very carefully. But that first round in June, people didn't really want to do it. But I think that we should go back to them. And I was actually just on the phone about this earlier. Go back and see maybe if there's a little bit more interest as we go into the fall. But I agree. It's just been devastating to have festivals canceled and those types of things. I know some people are coming down for food, and that's awesome. But a lot of people are nervous too, and still just doing takeout. But we need people to continue to support the businesses, and that's why when we talk about a need for more funding, more of something like a PPP that's a longer term for these bars, these restaurants, these theaters, places that really cannot be open until this thing is kicked. And so whatever we can do to help get resources to those businesses, we will. What I love is the creativity. I know the Scranton Fringe Festival is going to be having a cool thing where they're going to be performing behind store windows and people can gather around and watch the performances distanced, so small groups. So there's a lot of creativity out there, and I appreciate that. But part of this is just hard. We've had to cancel a lot of things, and we have to continue to stay safe.
All right, Mayor, we are out of time. Well, that was a fast hour. Thank you for joining us. I hope we can do it again soon.
Oh, I enjoy it. I appreciate it. And you guys, be well. Stay safe.
Thank you. You too. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.